Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and today I'm joined by my special guest co-host,
Rebecca.
And today we're talking about Survivor 44, Episode 9. Yes, we are a day later than normal because Mary had a work thing. That's all you get. She had a work thing. That's why Mary, though, did two episodes last week with us. She did the regular episode and the breakdown for you, Rebecca, the winner's analysis. Yes. So next week, Mary will be back. And Rebecca, you and I will be doing a full-blown winner's analysis, I think, in 2 weeks, right? That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Without looking at my schedule, that seems right. We'll be back with another winner analysis soon. But in the meantime, we're here to talk through the whole episode. And Rebecca, how did you I haven't been able to talk to you in the past couple weeks. How do you feel about last week and this week? Because no twists were just thrown into the show.
Right. Yeah. I felt like this week in particular, I was, first of all, loved the tribal council. Just, you know, that had a great time, was on the edge of my seat. But also, I felt like this episode, it was finally like, okay, now we're playing Survivor. And there's been a lot of build up to this moment. There's been a lot of times throughout the seasons that it's been, you know, oh, you know, we're about to get good gameplay. We're about to get, you know, really good Survivor. Mm-hmm. And then something happens, a twist or something. And it was always kind of disappointing. But this, particularly last, this week, but even to some degree last week, has just been like, okay, now we're playing. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm enjoying this season now.
I agree. Mary and I talked about it last week. We're like, finally, the merge has happened. Mm-hmm. Three episodes into the merge. And then this week it feels like, look what happens when you just get out of the way and just let them play. You know, and this week, I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit. We're going to go mostly chronological. But just the fact, like, they didn't have to have, this is what I was talking about with the advantages, like them just keeping it simple. They didn't have to have the knowledge of power, but everybody knows about the knowledge of power. Everybody knows what it does, what its power is. And therefore, they were acting on something that didn't exist. But it's fun because everyone, including us, the audience, knows what it is and what it does. So when everybody knows what it is, they can do their gameplay accordingly. And we saw that last season with 43. Remember when like Dwight gave his idol, or Jeanine gave her idol to Dwight, and Dwight gave it to, you know, because they knew what the advantage was. It wasn't like a control of vote where it's like, oh, this is new and out of left field. Okay, I guess I'm going to play it safe. When people know what things are, they're willing to play more risky and more, you know, fun. Is the way I see it. So I agree. Last week and this week was like, oh, we're actually in, like, it feels like we're in a proper, in the proper post-merge game, and we're not kicking sand around on the beach just like doing an earn the merge 2.0 just to have a twist in the ads for that week for the episode. So, well, are you ready to go through this I'm still saying alphabetical because we do winter analysis together. You ready to go through this chronological?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. So the episode starts and we start with Danny. Danny says the plan went beautifully. Now all the tribes are even 3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3. Lauren is worried though. And I wrote, and I do this every week, Rebecca. I always write who my guess is as who's going to go that week. I put Lauren is worried. I'm like, so Lauren's gone, obviously. I wasn't right. But I would bet Lauren's coming up here pretty soon with the way Rat 2 is sinking. I mean, Danny acknowledged that they're all even. You would think it wouldn't be Ratu versus Soak anymore. But it is, even though is Tika somehow has the same number. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, not to jump ahead, but the Three Stooges are really have put themselves in a good position, which I think, you know, is largely due to Carson and his strategy and his ability to kind of, you know, work with Jam Jam and Carolyn and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think, you know, it is interesting. I mean, obviously, Danny and Franny, like, that was kind of a cool move that he made last week with the idol
saving
and stuff.
Her, yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's always fun when idol plays work and, you know, actually, like, make a difference and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. It is interesting, though, like you said, you know, just the way that the tribes are divided. It's caused a lot of interesting, I don't know if drama is the right word, but, like, conversations and strategy, I guess, is maybe a better word just with the way it's divided.
I'm amazed, and it's all credit towards Tika, that Tika is still able to play like, oh no, we're just the poor pitiful underdog, when it's been openly acknowledged that everyone's even. It's not like, oh, it's Ratu versus Soka and Tika is it's like, no, there's three tribes and we're all evenly divided, and yet we're still gunning for these two tribes, and Tika's just able to slide right past. Mm-hmm. Like, that just says a lot about Tika's gameplay in a positive way. Yeah. And negative about everyone else. Everyone else should be like, I mean, have you ever seen Survivor? Or have you only watched the new era? Because this is classic. Like, you get these little underdogs underneath. Like, those, some of the best seasons have the underdogs slide to the end, and everybody's like, oh, we were gunning for each other. We should have focused on them first. Yeah, mm-hmm. you should have. And now they're letting them pass. So, obviously, Danny and Lauren got to talk, but the show can't hold off for too long. We have to hear from Jam Jam. Mm-hmm. God forbid we don't. Jam Jam says he voted for Franny. And this is what we were kind of wondering last week, Mary and I were. Mm-hmm. Jam Jam says he voted for Franny knowing she wasn't going to go. Like, he voted knowing that Danny was going to play the owl for her. Because it's all about appearances. He calls himself mm-hmm. 007. Or he says he doesn't know what it's called. Then he fixes himself. Says 007. This is the gameplay. So we didn't hear from, I want to point out, we didn't hear from Carson. We didn't hear from Carolyn mm-hmm. about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it could be wrong. We only heard from Jam Jam about this 4D. This 4D chess move was heard about from Jam Jam. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's true.
They've really reversed course in 43. This is so obvious to me now who's winning. It really is. We have gone completely, they've gone 180. We went from being Gabler to being like, oh, okay. I mean, Jam Jam's good. Don't get me wrong. I just like mm-hmm. a little surprise in my winner. Watch Jam Jam get voted off, though, Final Four, and then I eat crow again, so whatever.
At least this isn't being recorded and put on the internet for people to listen to in the future.
I know. Imagine if you all heard my dumb opinions before I started this channel. You'd have been amazed. All right, so I do want to talk really quickly about something else. So there's a couple things, actually. Jeff has come out and said this week, I want to get your thoughts on this, Rebecca. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Jeff said he is considering the idea of having juries watch challenges. What do you think about that?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that is okay. That's,
I'm assuming they're still
thought.
Silent. They're not rooting for anybody. I assume this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is, I'm sure, some impact on the jury when they see, you know, obviously who's won a challenge. But I could also see, it definitely could be more impactful, you know, if they're seeing like Franny and Danny, you know, in the show off and, you mm-hmm. know, or the showdown and seeing Franny just like absolutely killing it. Like,
and how,
you know,
hard
that,
she had to work. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never know. Like, some challenges, not that any challenges are easy to win, but some are certainly more hard fought than others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I mean, that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
I'm pro the idea. If they're not doing it for 45, do it for 46. This is a great idea.
Yeah. Just have the jury follow them around the whole time. Because then you're going to see strategy, too, of like, oh, who's having what conversations and stuff. Just need to, like, I feel like be sitting silently in the woods.
If the jury was at camp, which, by the way, would be great for Matt and Franny, of course. But if the jury was at camp, I feel like people would change the game they're playing. And I don't want that. I don't want people change their game to try to pander to what people, you know, like, play your game the way you want to play your game at camp, and then go to tribal council mm-hmm. and try to sell your game how you want. Yeah. Now, challenges can only go one way. There's no like pretending what you're doing during a challenge, and then, like, you know, you can throw challenges,
but
I feel like you're less likely to throw in front of a jury. I feel like you're more likely to try your best because jury watches you throw challenges. I don't know.
But also along that line, this week with the whole, you know, oh, four people have to sit out and mm-hmm. we'll give, you know, rice.
That'd be interesting for the jury to watch.
A strategy move. I mean, it would be interesting for the jury to watch. But I do wonder if people would change whether or not they sit out based on the jury watching.
Yeah.
Because I imagine fewer people would have sat out because it's mm-hmm. like, oh, this is my chance to prove myself in front of a jury.
Yep.
You know,
interesting. If they want people to try harder at challenges, have the jury mm-hmm. watch. Definitely.
True.
If you want people to try their absolute hardest at challenges, have the jury watch. It's going to, I think the downside for me, the downside, I think, potentially could be the jury are human. They're going to react. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't say a word or make a noise, their faces mm-hmm. are going to say it all. And that could give a big indication back at campus who we should be gunning for. That would be, I think, the biggest. That's like the catch. Is there a way to have the jury watch like a Robin Sandra in Island of the Idols where they're like,
right.
And they can, by the way, it's not like a secret. They should be able to know the jury's watching. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how Survivor would do this in terms of for the show, because they want us to see the jury's reactions. But I really don't want the contestants, the castaways, to see the jury's reactions, because I think there's a huge downside potential of people getting rid of people just because they see the jury wanting them to win challenges or not, which tells them everything about who they want to win.
I think that next to the challenge, they should set up a bench. And in front of that bench, there is a giant, like, whiteboard type structure, like a frame, and a one-way mirror.
A one-way mirror.
And the jury sits there, and they watch the challenge, and we can see them.
Yeah.
But
because we need to see them. That's obviously part of
this. Right, right, right. Yeah, but that's my pitch.
We don't need.
I think that's feasible to do in Fiji.
Yeah, it just needs
to
be
in the middle of nowhere.
It needs to look like it fits with the rest of the show, though. I'm wondering how one-way mirror would fit into the show. But yeah, some way for the jury to watch without the castaways seeing them would be ideal. And we could see the jury's reactions. That gives us more information as to what the jury's thinking, you know, stuff like that. Because we can hear the jury whisper to each other, you know. That would be really beneficial for us to understand who they want. And who? So when somebody gets blindsided and that was like the person the jury was wanting, oh, well, you know, the door's open now. So a couple other things Jeff said, they just happened today. So I didn't actually have time to take notes because I just read them. So I'm going to try to remember this to the best of my ability. On Jeff's podcast, Jeff said that he's like, we need the Final Four fire making because if we didn't have it, Jesse last season during 43 would have just been voted out 3-1. Jesse wouldn't have had a chance. Which, like, negates Survivor. But when Jeff says this to me is, like, backwards logic. Because what Jeff's implying is that, well, the only way to make it to Final Tribal at the Final Four is to win the fire making, which is hogwash. It's garbage. It's not true. That your social game and your ability to win immunities are what get you there. If you can't win an immunity, golly, you better. And Jesse did have a good social game. You better have a good social game. Mm-hmm. But he set himself up to be voted off at Final Four. That was on Jesse. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't even make a fire to boot. So like when he says, oh, you know, it would have just been a boring 3-1 vote and Jesse wouldn't have stood a chance. And it's like he did. And Jesse screwed himself. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just like Jeff's logic. I don't know.
Well,
it's
also just me. Like the whole point of Survivor is outwit, outplay, outlast. You have to have all three. And so, it does put kind of a undue weight on one of those. So, yeah, that's interesting.
I'm pro fire make competition. I just think it should be the Final Four fire make competition should be the immunity challenge, not just the forced tiebreaker. Just make it the immunity challenge at every Final Four. Therefore, you're still emphasizing learn to make fire before you come on the show. Cause I agree. Mm-hmm. That should be a skill you should have going out there, or at least you should learn while you're there if you don't already have it. And then at Final Four gets tested. Like, you want to earn Final Three and earn it through your fire making by winning immunity. It's a 4-way fire making competition, but I don't like the idea that there are basically two challenges to win immunity. That's garbage.
Yeah.
I think most people agree. I'm pro the fire making competition. Just make it the immunity challenge. Because they're probably not going to do long endurance hand on hard idol challenges anymore, which was what we used to get because they don't have the time for those anymore. So as we see, Jeff's like, you've been up there for 4 minutes. Like, OK, Jeff, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down. 4 minutes is like that's, you know, I don't even get a poop out in 4 minutes, you know. So. All right. So those are the ridiculous things. Jeff, one of them was good. The other one's ridiculous things he said. He said something else, but I didn't think it was worth talking about. So,
okay.
I know there's a third thing. I just don't remember. So it must not have been that good. All right. So we cut to the next day when the nighttime's over with. Sir Kane says he was woken up by the blindside. Now he's here to play. I guess that's when I should have wrote down who was going tonight because.
Yeah. He also mentioned D&D again. So it was kind of all the signs were there.
Tying it together. Yeah. It's so weird. They never tied in the show to D&D. But I looked it up, Rebecca. D&D was supposed to come out back in November, I think. So I bet you when they were filming the season, they thought the movie would be out for months and months by then. It was in theaters when the show dropped, when the season dropped. Yeah. So Danny is... So then... I think Danny starts hunting for the idol, and then everybody else is like, okay, we should hunt too. I gotta say, Danny's... The way he explains how he's hunting for the idol... Do you remember how he explained this? Because he had a smart plan.
He said he was going to go through search through 5 trees and bring back firewood to camp and then go back and search 5 more trees. And yeah, I thought that was a good strategy because, it's he's being aware that you need to be seen at camp semi-regularly so people don't think you're looking for the idol. Now, that being said, everyone thought he was looking for the idol.
Well, it worked for a while. And then I think at some point he said, I said, screw it. And I just started looking. So
gotcha. Yeah.
I have to go back and and watch it again to double check that. But I'm pretty sure he at some point he just said, screw it, I'm just going to look everywhere.
Gotcha.
And that's when other people are like, he's always looking, we should go look. Because Jamie, then we cut to Jamie confessional and she's like, I'm so glad I have an idol. As the text pops on screen in the lower third saying one fake idol.
Yeah.
They did all that setting up for her not to even play her fake idol.
Yeah, that was so disappointing that that left the game. Because what I thought was going to happen, not to jump too far ahead, I thought Kane was going to try and play it and like,
that would have been amazing.
Be this whole like, you know, make a fool out of himself and then get voted out, you know, which I don't know.
Classic move.
Would have been exciting, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of disappointing that that whole, because we spent so much time talking about that fake idol.
About that fake
and how
idol,
it was fake.
Specifically. Yeah.
And then it just wasn't even played.
Like, we did not. Okay, so now in retrospect, now that we know what happened with it, we did not need to see MGM hide it. We did not need to see Jamie find it. We didn't need to see her talk about it. We didn't need to see Sir Kane acquire. We didn't need to see him go out with, like, we didn't never even needed to know about this fake idol. We could have been like, we could have all just assumed MGM exited the game with the fake idol in his pocket, and we would have been none the wiser about the, that's what I mean, like, they want to add, so they're adding more screen time next season for each episode. After commercials, it's gonna be like 65 minutes. And it's like, but you're not even best utilizing the minutes you have now. So, like, I'm glad they have more minutes, but, like, this is a clear example of, okay, things we could have cut out of the show to make time for things that actually do matter. It was kind of funny,
unless
though, because Jamie's
some sort
a goof.
Of like, it, unless it was some sort of, like, misdirect, too, where they, like, wanted us to think certain things, you know? Because I know we've gone back and forth on, you know, is there a winner's edit or not?
There is.
So, I don't know. Could have been a misdirect.
How dare Jeff say anything else? I will say, though, that you're right. It could be like a 43. Remember where we thought Dwight went out with Janine's idol? And then it's like the next week. Oh, no, Jesse actually has it. What?
Yeah.
Plot twist. By the way, Jesse, like, the more I think about Jesse's game, like, the best player so far, like, the most exciting player in the first and during this new era. I'm not saying he's the best, but the most exciting, because the amount of moves he pulled off just through social game was just insane. But I you're right. Maybe next week turns out. But then Sir Kane talked about in his final words after he's voted off how he had the idol. So I don't think that's even the case. It's not like he gave it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, a lot of setup for nothing on that. So Rebecca, I was texting Mary as this episode happened.
Yeah.
And because you saw this, so you already saw this. So unfortunately, I can't really quiz you on it. But when Heidi found the idol, I text Mary and I said, oh, the idol hunt's over. And I said, and I'll tell you who found it, but guess how, where it was found. And she said, walking path at eye height. And I'm like, that's exactly correct. Walking path, eye height, walking path, waist height. You don't need to go anywhere. Just walk down the path casually, run your hand through the tops of trees, run your hand through the, you know, don't, if they're on the ground, it's probably fake.
Or it's like a clue to the idol.
Like. It's so dumb. Sorry. It's just so like, this is so dumb. But it's like such a cool thing, I guess. If you want to go on the show and break it, like Russell Hans, just go on there, everyone. If you're on 46 or whatever, just walk down the walking path of people as you're talking to them, run your hand tops of trees. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea with somebody. Because Heidi, I will give her credit. Well, she did find it, and I can't knock her for finding it. I'm just knocking them hiding it the way they hide it. She doesn't tell anyone.
True.
That we know of course.
Yeah. I also felt like even within the context of the show, like, there was a lot of talk about, oh, everyone's looking for the idol. Everyone's looking for the idol. And then she found it and it was quickly like over. Like, we basically heard like, oh, she found it. Yay. And then we moved on. So yeah, either it felt like kind of intentionally glossed over, and I don't know. Maybe that's
yet.
Yeah. Either it doesn't matter, or it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just because she didn't tell anyone about it. And so maybe it'll become something in the future. We'll see. But
yeah, well, Heidi's just been on the rise for the past like 3 weeks. I mean, remember when I hammered on her a few weeks ago and you're like, oh, I'll have to keep an eye out for her. I'm telling you, have you noticed?
Yeah.
The rise of Heidi is real this post-merge game. She's not playing a perfect game, I mean. She's playing a very messy game. But she
got a lot of votes in this episode.
She's getting a lot of flack. She's playing a very messy game. From the time she played her control of vote or whatever it was called, it's been kind of messy the whole time. So in a good way, I mean, it makes for entertaining TV, but yeah, the rise of Heidi is real. I don't think she's on a Gabler path, though. We'll get to our winners analysis here later, but Mm-hmm. I don't see this as like a Gabler, Erica kind of like surprise win, do you?
I don't. Yeah, because it just seems like the couple times that she's had power, she's misused it. Like, you know, the control of vote advantage was a great example of that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I've definitely noticed that she's been getting more attention recently. Mm. And obviously having an idol now, you know, is not to be ignored.
No.
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
They don't even ignore fake idols that do nothing. So definitely not ignoring
right,
her real
exactly.
idol.
Exactly.
We do see Jam Jam say it's nice to have an off day once in a while. I completely agree, Jam Jam. It's nice when mm-hmm. you all have an off day once in a while, so mm-hmm. we can just get character moments. I wrote down, of course, I spoke way too soon. I put, it feels like the past few episodes, the main character narrative has shifted from Carolyn to Jam Jam. But then immediately we get Carolyn, after I wrote that down, immediately we get Carolyn's backstory and how she's been sober for 13 years, which is great. But I was like, oh, mm-hmm. no, here's the real main character. I mean, Jam Jam's the main mm-hmm. character, but here's the real main character of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I halfway thought that
she was going to get voted off this episode because of that. But I was so glad that she was not. Because, yeah, it was a great, great backstory. And, mm-hmm. like, yeah, good for her, you know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they've been pretty good this season. I don't remember exactly 43, but they've been pretty good this season about not making it like, oh, your backstory, this is your episode. Where mm-hmm. it felt like that maybe in 41, and I don't remember if 42 is the same way. 41 definitely was. Felt like, oh, you have a backstory, now you can be voted off. Because, mm-hmm. Like, Brandon had it, and then he wasn't voted off for another, like, 3 or 4 episodes. I'm not saying Carolyn won't be voted off, but I am saying that that doesn't mean she's voted off this episode. That would have been really... Mm-hmm. really bad. I do want to point out, though, we've been talking about, with you and I specifically, talking about how people don't really respect Carolyn and her, I mean, Carolyn's game, not Carolyn, but Carolyn's game. Mm-hmm. Franny says she loves Carolyn and wants to be like her. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that in that whole section where we were getting all this, you know, the backstory from Carolyn and a lot of, I don't know, a lot of personality from her and stuff. I think the only other person that we heard from kind of sandwiched in between Carolyn. So we heard from Carolyn and then we heard from Franny and she was talking about how she connected with Carolyn and connected with her, you know, her experiences, not with addiction specifically, but with being seen as an outsider and that sort of thing. And then we hear from Carolyn to kind of wrap it up. So yeah, I definitely thought that was noteworthy.
Well, I've been talking about, I'm like, Carolyn's only path right now is to knock out. She needs to get rid of Jam Jam and Carson. And those are probably two guaranteed votes for her. Mm-hmm. Could Franny be a vote for her? Is that what they're telling us here? Or are they just picking somebody who's going to speak positive about Carolyn during her backstory? I don't know.
Yeah. Because, well, Franny was, she had, at some point she was kind of gunning for Jam Jam or Carolyn, but that would be kind of interesting to see Franny and Carolyn team up and take out Jam Jam.
Yeah.
And kinda
needs
go
to,
from there.
Based on the storytelling, that kind of is what needs to happen, because Jam Jam, Carolyn, Carson are clearly the front three. Like, they're clearly gonna reach the end. I hope Franny reaches the end too. I really do. But right now it's like the Tika three are guaranteed to make the finale. Obviously the narrative is here that Sokka and Ratu are gonna keep gunning for each other until it's too late. And heck now it is, because now what, Ratu's down to two people, right? Sokka has three. So I think next week a Sokka person's gone.
Yeah.
So is that Franny or is that Danny or is it Heidi? I mean, Heidi has an idol, which is good, but I could totally see Danny going next week. And now and then look at that, Tika has three while the other two, well, the other two are two, you know. It's, and while they could team up and be 4-3, is that gonna happen? I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, I could also see it kind of breaking at some point, because right now we do really have the tribal alliances, but I think at some point it could. I mean, it, yeah, there's only three people in each tribe. So, I mean, I guess.
Well, Ratu's only got two now.
You could go all the way to the end. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I guess you could go all the way to the end with three. But I don't know. Yeah. At some point, I think people are going to start playing maybe more of an individual game. So we could see that break up, which would be interesting.
That is one of the benefits of a two tribe season. And by the way, I hear all the complaints about three tribe seasons. And what's funny is because after Winners of War, everybody's like, I'm tired of two tribe seasons. Give us some three tribe seasons. We're always doing two tribes. So the pendulum just goes back and forth. But regardless, three tribe seasons, I think you do get more allegiance to your original tribe because you can reach the end with half of your original tribe. That's very enticing. Whereas when there's a two tribe season, well, somebody's got to be in the bottom of this 6-person alliance, you know,
right,
or 7-person alliance, whatever, how ridiculously large it is. So it causes more, it causes more turning on each other. I feel like more backstabbing. So, So after we hear from Carolyn and her backstory and Franny saying she loves her, which makes me wonder, then we hear from Carson and how he's still sick. And I wrote, at this point, the trio has all been heard from. We checked in, and the only reason I heard from Heidi is because she found an idol. The only reason we heard from Sir Kane is because he was going to be blindsided tonight. In fact, he says he was woken up by the previous blindside. And then the only reason you heard from, well, I can give him credit. We did hear from Danny at the very, very, very beginning, and we didn't have to hear from him about how the So like the only unnecessary confessional from somebody who wasn't the main three was Danny. Everyone else, it was like, well, with Sir Kane saying he was woken up by a blindside, setting it up. for some reason, Jamie talking about her fake idol was important to the story. It wasn't, but it was important to the story. So we had to hear her say that because it's going tonight. Heidi finds an idol, so we have to focus on Heidi for a second. But like when we don't have to focus on people, it was the main three. We hear from them all. And then, it's time for the challenge.
Yeah, and even with Carson being sick for the last couple of weeks, like I feel like we've heard from him a lot, even though he hasn't been able to do anything.
Yeah.
He's not even competing in the challenges.
No.
You know, we're still hearing from him.
Well, that's Mary and I talked about this a few weeks ago. We're like, is Carson going to be some sort of like challenge threat in the post merge game, and people are going to gun for him because he's so good? He's practiced all these puzzles, and it turns out that no, because he got sick. Like, Carson should probably be thankful he's sick. It makes him less of a target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's all strategy. He's not really sick. He's just...
Oh, could you imagine?
That would be crazy.
He's like, I figured out how to fake puke 9 times in one night while everybody watched. That'd be some next level messed up strategy.
Yeah. He's been practicing for months.
He's been bulimic.
While he was gaining 30 pounds of muscle or whatever it was.
The only way to lose this muscle is to puke. Gosh, I sure hope that didn't peak my audio. All right, so we have the challenge, and so I want to catch everyone up in case everyone's forgotten. In 41 and 42, Jeff went with the whole let's negotiate and we'll figure out how many people you want to sit out. I think it was either 41 or 42. I want to say 42. It was one of those seasons where people are like, Jeff, clearly you have a number in mind. Just tell us what the number is. There's no real negotiating here because Jeff has nothing to gain, right? Jeff just wants them to negotiate for funsies. Well, last season...
Jeff just wants to create chaos. That's what Jeff wants.
But not like interesting chaos. Just chaos for the sake of chaos. Just,
exactly.
Like on this podcast, I'm chaos. Like I'm Larry and you're Bob, you know?
That's
the best way to look at it. Anyways,
I'm short and round. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm short and round.
That's actually funny
because I'm round and you're definitely, you look more like, shape wise, you're more Larry and I'm more Bob, but personality. Yeah. Anyways, VeggieTales for those wondering what the heck we're talking about. All right. So it clearly has a number in mind. So then 43 and 44, he just gives them the number, but I'm like, stop calling it a negotiation. It's not a negotiation.
Right.
It's a hostage situation. There's no negotiation.
Hostage negotiation, maybe?
And it's not a negotiation, though. There's no negotiation. Jeff does not negotiate with terrorists. He has the rice and you will give him 4 people or you won't get the rice. Like that's not a negotiation. That is just, you will be sacrificing 4 people. Just give them a note that says tonight you have to sacrifice 4 people or you don't get rice. Like that's not a negotiation.
Yeah.
Negotiation implies that somebody could have been like, Jeff, we're only going to give you 3 and you're going to like it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Did somebody say that? I think I might do that if I go on.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Danny's like, all right, it's up to 5.
See, but that's a negotiation.
Yeah.
It changed.
Yeah.
Everyone would be mad at me, but you know, I'd be like, all right, at least we had a negotiation, I guess.
Right.
So Danny, by the way, that's exactly how my game would go for anyone wondering. All right. 100%.
I would love to see you.
Well, at least I tried and I screwed up again. And I get to the end, I'm Owen. Nobody votes for me. All right. So Danny says this is bollocks about people wanting to sit out. That's my use of the word bollocks.
Yeah.
For people wanting to sit out. And I'm like, does Danny not see the inherent value of people sitting out and him having a better chance of winning this thing?
Yeah.
Who's he advocating for?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, like, he was very vocal and like, saying, you know, oh, we won't vote you four out, Scout's honor.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone knew he was lying. Like, well, he wasn't even being subtle about it.
Because that's not his personality to be like...
And he had just said before they went to the challenge, he was like, no, clearly, like, none of us are going to sit out. Let's be the season where no one sits out, you know, let's be that season. He, like, gave that whole speech in front of the whole tribe and then gets to the challenge and is like, yeah, we won't vote for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he sensed the winds were changing when two mm-hmm. people immediately said they were going to sit out, and Jeff sitting there like, is pandering's not the word, but mm-hmm. like trying to get them to be like, okay, who's your other two people? Like, mm-hmm. Jeff, it's not a negotiation. They're either going to give you four people or they're not. And they weren't going to. They were just giving him two. And Jeff's like, all right, well, we're not going to be here all day. And they're like, oh, Jeff, I'll mm-hmm. sit out. Like, all right.
Yeah.
So I don't really care. I don't really like the fake negotiation. I'm over it after four seasons of it. And it's not really a negotiation. Mm-hmm. It would be something if you could negotiate what you could get from Jeff, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. If it's mm-hmm. like, oh, if we sit out four people, we get a bag of rice. If we sit out six, we get rice and beans, whatever it is.
Still not quite a negotiation if there's certain numbers for certain things. But maybe it's like, Jeff's like, this is the one time during the season you can negotiate with me for anything you want. Like, they mm-hmm. want to negotiate somebody sitting out for them to get a pizza. That's a negotiation. Yeah. Like, he didn't offer pizza. They want a pizza.
Yeah.
Or, like, Jeff, we want a tarp. Jeff's like, oh, you want a tarp? Well, how many people are you offering? Three? Mm-hmm. That's not enough. Tarp's really valuable. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that would be a negotiation. Negotiation is not, I have an item. You have to, like, that's just a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Just dumb. All right. I mean, like, so many things the show does right and I enjoy, but then they're just, like, dumb. All right, so I hope 45 gets rid of this fake negotiation. Let's have a real one, or just have an auction. I'm down. That's what we should have is just have an auction.
Yeah. Spend your money. The survivor auction was great. Let's bring that back.
It's cheap and easy. I agree.
Yeah.
Like there's no that's not even a big cost thing to do by any means.
No.
Food and like a gavel and like a little place to put food on and people.
It's a
sit.
Nice break from the game. It's kind of fun. You know, you get to see people's personality a bit more. It's
next
cool.
season or the next season, I feel like it's ideal. We have 90 minutes. I feel like, well,
true.
After commercials, now
that's
we have
so
time for a reward and an immunity challenge again. We have time for an auction.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. All right, let's not get on to this too long. So we have the challenge. Can you explain what this challenge is? Like, what happens?
Yeah, so the challenge is that you have to stand with one foot on a small block of wood, and your other foot has to be on top of your foot, so you can only have one foot on the block at a time. Yeah, I thought that I hadn't heard them clarify that before, at least that I remembered. And then you have to have I don't know how to describe this thing, like a ball
like
with
a
handles
roller.
Basically like a thick rolling pin and you have to use that to like brace a ball up against a wooden beam that's above your head. And it looked obviously I've never done this challenge, mm-hmm. but every time they've done it, it looks so difficult. And in this season or this episode particularly, it was raining rather violently.
I
and
like
also
that.
Very windy. And it was, I mean, the challenge didn't last very long but it still was a good challenge because it clearly was very difficult. And mm-hmm. like it was a well fought victory.
I wish it would
like 5 minutes.
I wish it would rain during more challenges, frankly.
True.
Yeah. The rain really added an element to it that the mm-hmm. show doesn't normally have during challenges. Normally, it seems like they try to avoid when it's raining to do challenges. But mm-hmm. I bet you they would have during a 39 season, but they didn't have a choice with their shortened schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine if they had more people. Oh, gosh. I'm wondering if they'll do a 20 person season again. And I'm like on 26 days. Oh, that'd be even faster than now. Yeah. Not in a good way. So we have our whole bullcrap negotiation. Carson and Lauren, Kane and Heidi, Sir Kane and Heidi all offer to sit. Mm-hmm. Danny says he won't for the sit outs, as you said, but no one really, everyone's like, okay, whatever. So it ends up coming down to Franny and Danny, and then Franny ends up winning. Good for mm-hmm. Franny. That's two wins for her. If any of you have seen my Challenge Beast video, 45 minutes long. That's how you know I had to make a cutoff somewhere. My cutoff is you need to win four individual immunities in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Not four over the course of your career. No, four in one season. Because it still made a 45-minute video, making that the cutoff. Mm-hmm. I almost did three, and it was going to be like 2 hours. Because a lot of people win three. Not a lot of people win four. So mm-hmm. I truly think Franny could win two more. We have a lot of immunity yeah. challenges left. And she yeah. beat Danny on this. Danny's no scrub.
Yeah, and I mean, that was all grit and determination. I mean, you could see, like, she was shaking mm-hmm. so bad for, like, half of the challenge. I so admire her concentration and her just, yeah, effort to get through that. Also, interestingly of note, you know, Danny has been in a showdown for immunity the last two episodes, and he's lost both times,
which
I feel
close.
Like is the worst of both worlds for yeah. him, because now he's being seen as, you know, a big threat, but he hasn't actually won immunity yet, so
but he's not getting any benefit for being the big threat. He's
right
just getting
exactly
labeled, yeah. yeah, we'll talk more about Danny here in a moment. Mm-hmm. So Franny wins. Good for her. Matt, mm-hmm. by the way, at Tribal Council is thrilled seeing her with mm-hmm. the necklace on. He's giving her so yes. many googly eyes. It's unreal.
yeah.
So we get back to camp, and Carson tells Soka that they're voting with them, which I think was kind of obvious. We all suspected this week was another Ratu member going. I was wondering if they were going to pendulum swing over to Soka, but it doesn't mm-hmm. seem like that was the case. Maybe they will next week. I feel like next week is a good time to knock out a Soka member if they're really going to do this back and forth strategy they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Heidi wants Sir Kane. And hey, Heidi got what she wanted this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I just noticed that now. Carson wants to flush out Jamie's idol because no one knows it's fake except for MGM, who's at a hospital laughing, I guess. I don't know where he's at. Lauren wants Danny out, but worries about an idol. Where's my Danny? I had something about Danny I wanted to bring up. Oh, shoot. I thought I had a note on this. Sorry. So Lauren wants Danny out, but worries about an idol. That Danny found an idol. But then we get the big point. And this is the big point because there's no knowledge is power this season. After last season, we joked about how many there were. None yeah. this season. And people are worried about it. So, like, can you explain? There's, like, changing of hands. And some people, I got some questions, so we'll address it now. Some questions mm-hmm. we're asking. What exactly happened in this change of hands? What did happen, Rebecca?
Yeah. So let's see. Jamie gave Kane her fake idol, and in an attempt to, because for the knowledge is power, for I guess anyone who doesn't know, probably mm-hmm. most people do. But like, yeah, basically the idea is if you can correctly guess who has what power. Or what advantage, then you get to steal that advantage from them, and you get yeah. to do that at Tribal.
And it's so never been played successfully.
Yes.
In three, and so four seasons.
The idea is you kind of shuffle advantages mm-hmm. So that, you know, within your alliance so that no one knows, but then obviously you no longer have your advantage. Yeah. So it's a exercise in trust, I suppose. So Jamie gives Kane her fake idol, and then Lauren gives Jamie her extra vote. Mm. So they just kind of shuffle advantages around so that yeah. hopefully no one knows. Because both of those are relatively public knowledge that mm-hmm. the two of them had those advantages.
It's true. Though it would have been funny if somebody really did have a knowledge power, and they're like, Jamie, I want your idol. And Jamie's like, mm-hmm. here you go. And then that person doesn't know it's a fake.
Oh, that would have been
That would
crazy.
Also have been an epic moment. And then that person plays the fake idol, not knowing that mm-hmm. Jamie's idol was fake because Jamie didn't know it was fake. Like, mm-hmm. there was potential with Jamie's fake idol. It was not yeah. capitalized, and it's not, that mm-hmm. is not the show's fault. That's just how things played out. I cannot yeah. fault the show for just the way things played out. But there was potential there.
Once MGM left, there was no one knew it was fake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He
so
was
everyone
smart,
was like convinced it was real. Yeah.
Which is funny because it puts a target on Jamie's back. I mean, not anymore. She doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. But it put a target on Jamie's back that she never was going to have in the first place. She shouldn't even have.
I mean,
have.
It still could because, I mean, she's going to tell people that Kane left with it, but people might not believe her. So
that's true. Will people believe her is the big question. So yeah. I found my Danny note because I thought this was really key in terms of the story. Mm-hmm. So. Franny recognized the Tika power. Finally, somebody does. And of course, it's mm-hmm. Franny, our yeah. only non-Tika member that I feel good about. She yeah. wants Jam Jam and Carolyn out. Good. Mm-hmm. I mean, notice that yep. she doesn't say Carson. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's because Carson's sick. Danny says, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Danny says, wanting Jam Jam and Carolyn out is dumb. Now, Danny is not watching the show. I understand this. Mm-hmm. But what this tells me is Danny isn't winning. 100%, yeah. 1,000%. Danny is not winning the game. When we do winter analysis, Danny has just dropped a ton, like a brick. Mm-hmm. That yeah. tells me Franny recognizes Tika power. We know she's correct. Danny says that's dumb. Danny isn't winning.
Yeah.
Yep. Danny's not winning.
Yeah, the only way that that makes sense in terms of, like, him being a winner is if we hear from him that, you know, it's some sort of strategy of, like, you know, he's trying to maintain control of the vote or something like that and, you know, doesn't, whatever. But, like, we don't hear any of that. We just hear him shut her down and,
Danny kind of gets the, he doesn't get a very complex edit like that. We're not getting Jam Carolyn level of confessionals from Danny. Danny's very straightforward at this story, and Danny isn't winning. Mm-hmm. Everyone who was hoping Danny's going to win, he's not. You heard it here first, or maybe second. I don't know if somebody else said it, but Danny is not winning the game. He is now a 0% chance for me winning this game. That right there is like, that's a death nail. I mean,
wow,
there was already,
that dropped all the way to 0%.
There's 0%. There was already hints along the way, though, if you think about it, like when him and Brandon were having the whole conversation and we focused on Carolyn and what Carolyn thought and how Carolyn's like, these two are, and we've heard from Carolyn how she wants Danny. Like, dude, Danny isn't winning.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And as soon as Brandon was voted out, you know, Carolyn was like, good, I'm glad he's gone. Danny's next, you know?
I know Jam Jam is the one that's like the yam father or the godfather, whatever he wants to call himself. But Carolyn also is getting her way. So Carolyn has an idol no one knows about still, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a real idol. People keep wondering if she has the fake. No, that would be on the, they would just put that in the bottom third. They would be like Jamie. They'd be making fun of it at this point. It wouldn't be like, it's not keeping it hidden from us. So Jam Jam wants Sir Kane out. Now, at that point, we should have known, if you didn't already know, that Sir Kane's going, because he just earlier said, who I want out of this game is going, is gone. And he names, he named off like three different people. So Sir Kane's next. I guess if Jam Jam next week says he wants somebody gone, I guess assume that person's going at the tribal council.
And it was all people who had voted for him, right? Because, I'm Josh, not sure if that was everyone
Matt,
that voted for him, but.
Was it Brandon was the other person?
Brandon, So everyone. And then Kane.
Now Sir Kane, the Carolyn, we cut to Carolyn. She's like, as Danny is flossing, by the way, like Fortnite flossing. Carolyn's like, I want Danny out. Which, so that tells you that Jam Jam, between the two of them, Jam Jam has more social power because Jam Jam got what he wanted. But I think we've been setting up a Danny downfall for a while. And if it's next week, I would not be surprised. 0% chance of winning. Okay, so Danny got his turn at the driving. Sorry. I forget to mention when we go to tribal council. So we go to tribal council and I wrote almost nothing because I was so bored until later. So I wrote down, oh, good. Danny got his turn at the driving metaphor this episode. If you hear my dog barking in the background, that's because Mary just got home. Let me close my door. Go ahead, Rebecca. Talk about tribal council while I close my door.
Oh, okay. Yes. So tribal council was, first of all, tribal council this week I thought was so exciting because it's starting to feel like we're actually playing Survivor. Just like so much of this season has been, you know, kind of like a slow build. And then, you know, we got crazy tribal. Last week we got, you know, an idol that was played properly. This week we got people standing up and whispering and running around and having conversations at tribal, which is always my favorite. We got, you know, closed captions to see the whispers like Jam Jam requested and everything. I don't know. I thought it was a good tribal council. One thing I did notice was that Danny was focused on a lot, but not like, it just seems like he's not being very subtle with his gameplay and stuff, which I kind of view as not a good thing, kind of to your point of him potentially, you know, being voted out soon. He's just very expressive, like kind of gave big reactions to different things that people said. And I don't know. I think he's starting to get a little bit cocky.
Danny's a goner.
I don't see that ending well for him. It was definitely very exciting tribal council. Got, you know, an advantage was played with the extra vote and then lost an idol, a fake idol.
We have a wild vote here. It goes down 5-3 to 1-1. And I had somebody, so I've been telling everybody that if they want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, they can. And if they want to talk, I'll talk to you as long as you want to talk to. I'm sorry, as long as you want to talk. But Abby messaged me. And specifically asked why Sir Kane voted for Danny when Jamie with Jamie playing the extra vote, like, I guess, do you understand why Sir Kane did that? Why did he throw his vote on Danny?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, no, I don't understand. Because
that was the only vote for Danny tonight.
Yeah, the only way that makes sense is if Kane was like planning to play the idol.
Yeah.
But even then, I still don't fully understand the reasoning behind it.
Because if he voted for Heidi, it would have been 5-4-1. And then your other stray vote is Franny votes for Jamie, which I don't fully understand either.
Yeah.
But if the stray votes didn't happen towards Danny and Jamie, it could have been a tie, 5-5 tie. So Sir Kane alone could not have made it a tie, but it was weird. He just kind of threw his vote on Danny and not on Heidi.
Yeah, I did wonder if that was partly just due to the chaos at Tribal Council, if maybe there was some miscommunication and people just thought, you know, that the vote was going a certain way and it ended up not. That's the only reason I can see for it, but I don't know.
I would say who got voted off tonight, but Mary is now in my house and she can hear me and she has not watched the episode yet. So Rebecca, you're going to have to be the only one here.
No spoilers.
Yeah. In case I didn't say it earlier, now I can't.
Yes.
So I'll let you be the one who says it, Rebecca.
Yeah.
But yes, that person was voted out 5-3-1-1.
Yes. Yeah. Sir Kane was voted out with the fake idol in his pocket.
Now, next time on Survivor, it's a lot of slow motion. That's what I got from that.
Very dramatic.
Very dramatic.
Yes. I'm here for it.
Alliances are apparently gone, supposedly.
Yeah.
I think the reality is that the Ratu tribe is probably like, we need to figure something out because there's only two of us now. I think it's really what it is.
Yeah.
So the question is, will Soka break up?
Yeah. And that's the thing. If Ratu and I'm blanking on the name, the other one, not Soka.
Tika.
Tika, thank you. If Roku and Tika team up, that could be very interesting. I don't know that would happen, but that would be interesting.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think next week Tika swings over to Ratu and votes off Soka member.
I at some point they're going to have to wake up and realize, you know, that the Three Stooges are controlling the game.
That's
and,
what Franny
break
said.
That up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She knows. She's on top of this.
Yeah.
So that's all we have for the proper episode. Do you have anything else before we move on to the next section, Rebecca?
No, I think that's it. Just overall, I really enjoyed this episode, and I hope that the show, the season continues to be this exciting. I'm here for it.
This episode and last episode, best episodes since the premiere.
Yeah, for sure.
So if the rest of the season goes this way, I could see how this will end up being a good season, because I did just complete my, well, we'll talk about that here in a moment. I can relate that to something later. So let's move on to the question of the week. Okay, Rebecca, so this is all because of Franny this week.
Okay.
Who was the last immunity challenge beast we have seen in Survivor? Who was it? If you need a hint, let me know.
That's a good question. And by challenge beast, you mean has won more than four?
They have to have won four or more individual immunity challenges in that one season.
Yeah. I feel like it's been a minute. I would take a hint if you're offering it.
It was not in the new era. It was before the new era.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Not much before the new era, but it was before the new era.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm also not sure. I'm also not sure if I remember even who's like done four or more. Just trying to.
No Googling, Rebecca. I see your hand on your computer.
No Googling.
Mouse.
No. Yeah.
It's okay if you don't know.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
It was Tony in Winners of Oar.
Really?
Yeah.
He won four. Okay.
Yeah. People were giving
up. That's so funny.
Challenges that season.
Interesting.
People were just giving up.
See, that's crazy. I don't even think of him as being like a challenge person. I think of him as an agent of chaos, I guess, more than anything else.
In Kai Gaon, he didn't win one. And then in Game Changers, he didn't make it further enough to matter. So, this season, Winners of Oar, he won four. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, good for him.
Yeah. So I have a bonus question as part of our question of the week.
Let's do it.
Will Claire's lack of participating in challenges affect her ability to win the game? I've had people ask about this.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I mean, there are definitely people who have won and not won any individual immunity challenges before.
Is it unprecedented that she sat out every single individual immunity challenge so far? Because people don't usually just sit them all out, but she's...
That's true. She didn't even sitting. Get rice every time. She just sat out.
No, she wasn't doing it for Jeff's negotiation. Like, yeah, you would think Jeff would be like, well, Claire's sitting out, so I just need three more. He didn't even bring her up, which is just weird. Right. So.
Yeah, that would have been so funny if they brought her back just to sit on the bench.
They're like, well, Claire's sitting out. And Claire's like, hi. Yeah.
They cut over there. They're like, wait, Claire's here?
They didn't know it was going to be a running joke. I have so many people like every week now. They're like disappointed if I don't mention it. So I have to figure out how to.
It's a really good bit. Yeah.
Whoever wins 44, I just guarantee you I will make that the bit. That will be the running gag of the winner story for them. All right, nice. So over on Patreon, this is what I was going to relate to earlier. Mm-hmm. So I think 44, we'll see how it lands in the season rankings after the season. So over on Patreon, I just finished the Amazing Race season ranking, spoiler free for all 34 seasons. That's on there if you want to watch it. But in the off season, we'll do that for Survivor as well, spoiler free, like I did last year. And then I personally ranked all the Survivor Captains seasons. That's on Patreon as well. And then series, and I'm not going to call this a story video because that's not the right word. Story movie video. Mm. I don't know. It's two and a half hours long, though, about all four seasons of her Survivor experience.
That is an epic tale.
It is her Snake in the Grass experience and the Traitors. It is 2.5 hours. I think it's a little bit longer than that. That's just, I remember being at least 2.5. So, I mean, it's no Avengers Endgame, but it is basically a Survivor movie at that point. So if you want to support the channel, check out Patreon. You can watch those videos today, right now. All right. So, Rebecca, Mary usually does not care about this part of the podcast, but you are you're into filmmaking.
Yeah.
That's like kind of your thing. So,
yeah, it was my thing.
In case people didn't know, Rebecca's actually worked on at least one of my short films. I can't say a couple. I don't know if you're on my. Were you on
Greatest Short Film Ever? No, I think just one. No,
just Wink at Me?
It was just the.
Not Wink at Me. Was it Wink at Me? No, it wasn't Wink at Me. It was Well, Fame and Love.
The sequel. Well, Fame and Love. That's what it was.
I forgot if you were on. Yeah. We're over here talking nonsense to other people. Yeah, I have some comedic short films. Rebecca worked on one of them. Don't expect to see her in it. She doesn't act. She just keeps
well,
keeps
technically, people alive. I am in the background
that's
on that
true.
One.
That's true. And Mary was too. I forgot.
In the coffee shop. Yeah.
We need extras in the coffee shop. And Rebecca, you and Mary. Yeah, that's true. If you want to see that's true. Just comment if you want. I'll send you a link to that short film. Mm-hmm. All right. So TV ratings. So far, I've been all season, I've been tracking how 44 has been in comparison to 43. So 43 premiered at 5.05 million viewers. 43 after episode 9, which is this past episode, was at 5.15. So it fluctuated that's not me covering every single episode. Link in the description if you want to look at every episode's numbers. But Rebecca, it basically fluctuated up and down all season. Like it went as far down as 4.57 and it peaked at so far 5.17. That's for 43. For 44, it started off not too great. I don't know if people weren't thrilled about Gabler winning or what, but it started at 4.76, which is not great in comparison to the last season premiering at 5.05. But 44 has only picked it up. This week, 5.22 million. It rose every week, Rebecca, from episode 1 until episode 5, and then it dipped down a little bit for episode 6, and then it went up for 7. And it's gone down. It's only gone down a little bit each week since 7, but like the numbers are more consistent and higher than 43.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like this is very much a slow burn season, and I'm hoping that it keeps, you know, ramping up to the finale. But yeah, definitely the beginning of the season was very slow. So it makes sense that more people tune in as it gets more exciting.
I think people were timid about after 43, because 43, while I think Jesse did some amazing things, I can understand why overall wasn't a narratively satisfying season. If you watch the Gabler video, I think they had something there, they just didn't capitalize on it for his story. I don't think Jeff, by the way, in all of his podcasts this season, has basically any chance he gets burns 43. Like he doesn't say 43 sucks, but he clearly implies that he just is not a big fan of the season. So kind of funny.
Like as a viewer, I don't know, 43 so far compared to 44, what we've seen of it, I don't know, I almost feel like 43 is better from a storytelling perspective so far.
Out of all the seasons to have to pick a bone with, 43 mm-hmm. is not the season I have a bone to pick with.
Right, right.
No, so, yeah, 44 is doing pretty well. If you want to visualize and see those numbers yourself, link in the description, you can take a look at them. And it also answers the question that I get a lot of how do they track those numbers? How do they do it? That's all in the link. Not here. Otherwise, I'll sit here every week and give you the textbook definition, which is boring. All right, so let's move on to what some skip to. Believe it or not, Rebecca, some people just skip to this part of the podcast. Oh. I know.
Heathens. Welcome to the new listeners, then.
Welcome to the new listeners. Heathens. I like Rebecca's nice, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Terrible people.
I'm like, welcome. This is a safe space.
This is not a safe space.
Great. Good. Good. Okay.
We will be doing, so since Rebecca's here, we'll do something a little special mm-hmm. with our winter analysis. Normally, this is our winter analysis part, and mm-hmm. normally what Mary and I do is we just talk about our top two and a wild card, something to keep an eye out for. Not this mm-hmm. week. Rebecca and I are going to, we're going to tell you how we ranked all eight people each. And I'll start with you, Rebecca, and then we'll do me.
Yeah.
We'll go through all eight with you, and then we'll go through all eight with me. But we're just going to rattle off number eight through four, and then we'll talk about our top mm-hmm. three. So, Rebecca, who is number eight through number four for you?
Yeah. Yeah. So starting at the bottom, from eight through four, we have Jamie is number eight, Lauren at number seven, Heidi at number six, Carolyn at number five, and Danny at number four.
Danny's above Carolyn?
He is.
Are
yeah.
you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I told Mary this last week. I'm like, when we did our full blown winter analysis, I'm like, sometimes Rebecca will just put a ranking, I think, despite me. I'm like, I think she just ranks despite me. Carolyn's below
Danny.
I'm
just trying to keep you on your toes. That's the whole thing.
That's why I'm glad you're here. I'm glad somebody has a differing opinion from me. We're not here to talk about your insane ranking of Carolyn, but who's your number three? We'll talk about that.
Yes, so my number three is Jam Jam. I think, you know, the top three I feel like are just pretty obvious. I mean, he's gotten a lot of attention. We've gotten to hear a lot, you know, narrated from his perspective this season. He's a very likable mm-hmm. person. Jeff talked to him on the mat, so that's, you know, in episode one. It. Can't ignore that.
Some people lately, Rebecca, have been messaging me and asking,
who
should I, now that my winner pick got voted off, who should I root for? I'm like, well, have you thought about the mat theory?
Yeah, it's spreading.
Your winner pick wasn't on the mat theory. Well, it wasn't on the mat, I'm guessing, because they'd still be in the game. Yep. So,
yeah.
Wait till Franny or Jamie Gump gets voted off, and then I'll eat my words.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, he's number three. I think he's, you know, someone that, I'd be kind of surprised if he doesn't. I mean, let me say it this
way.
I wouldn't
be
too surprised. I wouldn't be too surprised if he gets voted off in the sense that I think that people could notice him as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
But so far that doesn't seem to be happening. And I think he's playing a really good game, and I think he's playing a good enough game to make it to the final three. So we'll see.
If he reaches the final three, Mary and I were debating this last week. Like, does he win on charisma? Mm-hmm. Can he charismatically win over the jury? If you were saying this to somebody who's like Carson, who can like logically explain, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which one wins, you know. Last season, Gabler's charisma won him over.
That's very true. And I think, you know, likability, he hasn't burned a lot of people, but at the same time, I think he's starting to build a resume in the sense that, you know, three or four people who have voted for him have been the most recent ones to get voted out. And so I think he's starting to build that resume, and I think he could have a really good balance of the logic side of, you know, the strategy, the charisma, like you mentioned, you know, telling a good backstory and everything. So I think he's really solid to win if he can make it to the end. That's my only concern, is that I could see people getting wise to the fact that he's a threat and voting him out.
Is he good at fire? So I asked that last week, and somebody messaged me that, hey, remember like episode one or two, maybe we saw Jam Jam make the fire. I mean, but that's under a no stress situation. Like,
yes.
Can he do it under stress? You know, that's the question. Will he thrive under stress? So I'm going to rattle off my eight through four, and I'll talk about my number three, and then we'll go back and forth. So number eight for me is Danny. And that's like, I mean, I was surprised, but I'm like, I'm sticking to my guns. Danny, 0% chance of winning. Danny's number eight. Then Lauren, who I don't feel as strongly about being 0% chance. So I'd give Lauren like maybe a 5%. I don't think she's winning. Like maybe 5%. I feel like we're getting too deep in the season and Lauren's story has not emerged. Jamie is number six. Heidi's number five. I think Heidi's game is too messy to go any higher, frankly. Carolyn's number four, where she should be. Rebecca, you're going to learn your lesson soon. So Carolyn for me, I know we're talking about top three, but Carolyn for me, like, has to be higher than Danny. I feel like the show loves Carolyn and doesn't like Danny. Mm. And I can't ignore the storytelling of how much they love Carolyn. If I was on the island, like, with them, I'd probably think Danny's the bigger threat, frankly. But I'm not watching an edited version on the island. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and then it also comes down to, like, you know, who's the jury going to vote for? Because, you know, they're on the island. So, I don't know. Again, kind of depends on if you can make it to the end, obviously.
Oh,
I don't know if Danny can, but.
In the description, I will have Rebecca and I's rankings in text form for those who just want to look at it. Sometimes I get that question. Number three for me is Carson, who clearly is higher for you because you haven't named him yet in your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So Carson for me is number three. I like him. He's as high as he can be without being on the mat and talked to at the beginning of episode one by Jeff. But Carson, I think he's actually, I don't know. Right now, he can't do anything. I don't know if that will hurt him if he were to reach the end because he is sick. But it's only like day 17.
Mm-hmm.
So he has plenty of time to do something to make the jury impressed by him if he is at the end.
Yeah.
The storytelling loves Carson. The story's always loved Carson. Carson gets a lot of focus. We've seen good backstory from him with how he prints puzzles. Oh, by the way, they didn't. I want to point this out for Carolyn. I wonder if this is supposed to be good for Carolyn. The secret scene this week, Rebecca. Carolyn lights her pants on fire on accident. Secret scene, not in the show. Which means they're trying to keep Carolyn looks to make her look smarter. I don't know if that's that way.
Interesting.
That's my wonder. Because why would that not be in the episode? She burns her pants. How is it not in the
episode? I would love to see her reaction to that because that sounds like she would have a great reaction to that.
Just look up Carolyn burns her pants secret scene to look at on YouTube. It's it's a trip.
I will Google that as soon as we're done.
Yeah. So they didn't include that in the episode. And I've said in the past, I'm like, if they're putting somebody's like interesting scenes into the secret scenes, they're either A, wanting them to appear smarter / more likable, or B, they're not winning. And I think, I don't know if this is both. But it definitely makes it look like she's trying to keep her, like, make her look smarter, which could be actually a good thing. I don't think this is a bad hiding of a scene. I think this is a good hiding of a scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frankly.
Well, I definitely think that we as the audience see Carolyn as smarter and more strategic than people on the island do. Because, you know, all of the strategy talk that we hear from her, or almost all of it, is in confessionals. And everything we see, you know, of her on the island is her being, you know, goofy or, you know, sharing her backstory or whatever. You know, it's more personal.
If you're if she was to win and you see her burning her pants, people won't forget that. The general audience, I mean, obviously, I will not forget now because there's a secret scene. And I watched it. But most people don't watch the secret scenes. So that's why. They include, I don't know. I wonder if this is a covering up. So anyways, Carson's number three for me. Who's your number two?
My number two is actually Carson. So that leads into this. Tell me what you think about Carson. Yeah. So Carson has been my number one for a while. He has slipped down to number two. I think mostly just because, like you said, he hasn't been able to do anything for the last couple weeks. But I still think that he obviously has the social side of things with the Three Stooges group that he's sort of put together. You know, I think he's a very likable person. He, even though he hasn't been able to compete in the challenges recently, back when they were doing, you know, tribal immunity and everything, he had several opportunities to prove himself with the puzzles and the different things. So,
and then earned the merge, he basically won his whole group immunity.
Yes. Yeah. Just absolutely killed it. Yeah. And so, you know, yeah, obviously, like, I hope that he gets, you know, gets better soon and is able to start participating in challenges, because, like, I think he needs more to you know, win a season. Like, he's going to need to compete and maybe even win some individual immunities. He's going to need to make some moves and stuff. But I think there's a lot of potential there, and we've already seen some, you know, really good gameplay from him. And so, yeah, I think he has very high chances of winning. And yeah, high chances of getting to the end too. So yeah, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, Carson, I feel like, guaranteed finale.
Yeah,
my number two is probably your number one, I'm guessing, since you haven't said her name yet, Franny.
Yeah,
Yep. So I'll talk about why I like Franny, and then we'll talk about, okay. we'll hear from you. So number two yes. for me is Franny. Guys, did you know that she was talked to on the map by Jeff in episode one? It's impossible to ignore. Also, wow. though, I think the storytelling hasn't, that wasn't it. The storytelling is really backing up how smart she is. She's mm-hmm. the only one so far to notice the Tika 3. And we, of course, know how important they are. But mm-hmm. showing that she notices is probably number one, setting up that maybe she'll start gunning for them, potentially. Mm-hmm. But number two shows that she's super smart, because we then cut to Danny saying, no, Tika 3, that's dumb. You know, that's dumb. Like, okay,
yeah.
Danny's not yeah. winning. Franny, though, noticing makes me wonder, will Franny be able to get them off? Like, will Franny be able to, because right now we've established Tika 3 are the big three, right? Well, what if Franny mm-hmm. gets rid of them and goes the end with Jamie and Lauren? Does yeah, Franny win?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
Franny recognized who the Power Alliance was. She got rid of them. Franny wins. You know, Franny yeah. by herself couldn't do that. She needs people not to say that's dumb like Danny. She needs people who will vote with her. And we're dwindling really fast. So that's where she's running out of time quick. She not recognizes that this is the week to do something about it for her. She needs yeah. to get rid of Carson, Carolyn, or Jam Jam. So yeah. what do you think about Franny?
Yeah, Franny is my number one, as you correctly guessed.
I mean, she's the only person not named.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I am really rooting for Franny, especially after this episode. Just that immunity challenge win was so mm-hmm. impressive. I think we've seen, you know, very strong social game from her. After, you know, obviously aside from the whole Matt thing, which was a bit risky, but you know, she has his vote, so there you go. But yeah, you know, we've seen, like you said, you know, just kind of being aware of who the power players are. I think it was kind of like we talked about earlier, very interesting that, you know, she was the one that we heard from when Carolyn was talking about her addiction story. So we heard from Carolyn and then Franny and then Carolyn again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we, you know, we're kind of hearing this like personal anecdote from Carolyn, but we kind of got a little bit from Franny slipped in there where she talked about, you know, how she's felt like an outsider and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think it's, we've seen that connection with Carolyn and Franny. She has obviously the, you know, the challenges. She's won two of them so far in very impressive ways. So yeah, I think she has all the elements of a sole survivor. And yeah, like you said, you know, she's just going to have to like make it to the end because she's going to have to figure out some alliances and stuff with, you know, taking out some of the Three Stooges and stuff. But personally, I would love to see her and Carolyn team up mm-hmm. and take out Jam Jam. I think
and
that
Carson,
would be
yeah.
just like a great move. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if they can take out the two of them, I think that would be a great move. Now, the only thing would be that because, you know, I also think Carolyn has been pretty favored, obviously, in the edit at least. Mm-hmm. So if Franny and Carolyn end up going to the end together,
I think Franny wins.
I still think Franny yeah. wins, but I don't know. There's a little bit of a question mark there. So
if Franny sits at the end with, let's say Franny's at the end with Carolyn and Heidi, Franny wins. Mm-hmm. Like I could yeah. see that trio yeah. with the way they've been setting up. I feel like who's our third place person?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like Heidi because she's got such a big edit, but it's
that's
like
true.
It's been
that's
so
true.
Purposefully like focused on how all over the place it is. It feels like. Mm-hmm. Here's our third place person. And here's why. That's what it feels
yeah.
like.
Because I do think that Franny will be able to articulate herself in front of a jury better than Carolyn would be able
mm-hmm.
to. So yeah, I definitely think she has the advantage there as well. So yeah, I'm rooting yeah. for her. I would love to see her win. She's my favorite at this point.
There are multiple combinations here where I feel like if I was on the jury, I'd vote for Carolyn. But mm-hmm. you put Carolyn up against Franny, I'm voting for Franny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
personally, I just vote for Franny.
Yeah.
Put Carolyn up against Jam Jam. I don't know. I might vote for Carolyn mm-hmm. over Jam Jam. Put Carolyn yeah. against Carson. I might be like, you know what? I like Carolyn's story more. Put yeah. Carolyn up against yeah. Franny. I'm not. I'm voting for Franny.
Yeah.
Franny. I would love for Franny to represent my season as the winner. Carolyn, I like her. Yeah. She's a good character. I'm not sure. But, yeah, so Franny sits against Carolyn at the end. Sure. I mm-hmm. think Franny wins. So yeah. my number one yeah. is, you may have been able to guess, is Jam Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I feel like, ever since Matt's gone to mm-hmm. the jury, the gap is getting wider and wider between mm-hmm. Jam Jam and Franny. I think without the math theory, Jam Jam would be my number one now, because how mm-hmm. can I ignore how they just love Jam Jam? They love Carolyn, but they've purposely shown us how people don't respect Carolyn. We have yet mm-hmm. to see anybody go, Jam Jam is dumb, or I ignore Jam Jam, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Jam Jam. He's the 007. He's the Yam Father. You know, Jam Jam. So Jam Jam, is Jam Jam being set up to be the main boss knockout at the end of the game? Is Jam Jam if you beat Jam Jam of Fire, you win person, like Jesse was.
Yeah,
because that's how I felt about Jesse last year.
And the other thing is that people have voted against him so far. True. Has anyone voted against Carolyn? Though. I don't think so.
Let me double check. Carolyn has one vote against her.
Okay.
I can look for one. That one was that. When did Carolyn get a vote against her? Must have been a while ago when she got that. Yeah. Helen voted against Carolyn back in episode 2. So that's a non-factor.
That was, yeah.
That's an odd factor.
Whereas Jam Jam, I feel like he's gotten votes several times, but also at very pivotal tribal councils.
And he survived.
And he has survived. So, I mean, you know, that could go either way. It could be a bad thing because it means, you know, people see him as a threat and might want to get him out. Or it could be a good thing where he can, you know, hold that up at the end and be like, look, I survived this. Everyone who voted against me, you know, I got them voted out and, you know. That was good gameplay on my part.
Specifically,
so,
Jam was voted for at the Josh Tribal Council where Josh went out. I mean, he was the Matt Tribal Council. He was only one. One vote flips and Jam Jam was gone that episode. So, Jam Jam has two tribal councils where he was targeted, but not since the Matt Tribal Council has he been targeted. So Jam Jam, I feel really good about. I feel like he could be. I'm like, man, if Jam Jam's the Jesse of the season, who's the winner? I hope it's Franny. Mm. But it feels like Jam Jam and Franny might be in a similar position. I'm not saying similar position, but similar position storytelling wise to Carl and Jesse last season. And I'm like, crap, if that's true, who's our Gabler? You know?
Yeah.
Who's the Gabler? Because I feel like last season it was like Jesse and Carla. Every week you and I said Jesse and Carla. Well, this season I'm feeling like Jam Jam and Franny. I feel like we have other contenders, though. I feel like Carson and Carolyn are contenders.
Yeah.
I don't know about Heidi and the rest of them, but Heidi's there. I mean, if Heidi wins, I'd be like, wow, she did something. She must have done something good at the end because so far it's been kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else for winner analysis or should we move on?
No, I think we're good to move on.
Rebecca's like, there's more? Yes. So we have one last thing. We got to answer people's questions.
I love answering questions.
I love it too. I'll ask the question, you answer it, and if I feel like answering, I'll also answer. It's usually how this goes.
I may not answer accurately, but I will answer. Oh, so.
Accurate is not needed, just entertaining.
Okay, good.
All right,
good.
For the first question we have is from Clouster. Would you agree that Jamie's fake idol getting voted out with Sir Kane is the best thing that could have possibly happened to her? Like, is this Jamie? Good for her game? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I would say yes and no. Yes, because, you know, she didn't try to use it for someone else and fail and make a fool out of herself. So that was a good thing. But also no, because I could see people not believing her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she could say, oh, Kane left with my idol. Because everyone knows that she has an idol.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she could. And I don't know that she even knows that it's public knowledge. She said something in this episode that made me think that she doesn't. Funny, but yeah, so I don't know, I could see it being actually pretty bad for her if, you know, people don't believe her and think that she still has an idol when she doesn't even have a fake idol. So she's never had an idol, but, you know, like, yeah.
So the next question is from Nick. Oh, by the way, I agree. I think will people be able to buy what Jamie's selling? Maybe. I don't know if Jamie is, can she say it with a straight face and people believe her? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Next question is from Nick. And by the way, there's multiple people asked a variation of this question. Nick was the first one that asked it. So that's why I picked Nick. He's asked, did you think it was weird that they had five people sit out of the challenge, you know, because of Claire?
Yes.
Why didn't Claire count?
That was interesting. And I think that was that should have been more part of the negotiation because they should have said,
Jeff,
we need four, but we already had Claire, you know? So, yeah, I think that was something that they should have used to their advantage more than they did. But yeah,
I would be on the show making a running gag like that. And they would cut it out completely. And I'd be like, people, I promise I was out there making running. I was out there trying to make jokes and they were not leaving.
That's
going to
be
the
secret scene is just all your running
jokes. Stupid running jokes, yeah. Montage them. so that you're annoyed because it's over the course of 26 days, but it's cram-packed into 3 minutes. Yeah. Wow, he's really annoying.
I would watch that.
I know you would, and you would laugh at me. Then you and Mary. Yeah, if I'm ever on the show, I'm going to put this out there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you and Mary do the podcast this season, because I'm sure I'm not allowed to. I'm sure I'm not allowed to do that.
We would have a great time.
So, Mary, is Wesley like this at home? All right. Billiam asks, will we see another Idol Hunt next episode with people looking for Jamie's re-hidden idol? I don't think they would hide a fake idol. I think that was just part of the birdcage thing.
Yeah. But would people think that it was re-hidden?
That's a good
point. If they think that, you know, a real idol. But that is interesting, too, because, like, I don't know, like you said earlier, I don't know if people know that Heidi has an idol.
No, she doesn't. So, she hasn't told anybody.
So it is interesting, like, are they still looking for that idol? And then, you know, a second idol that they think might be out there. So, yeah, I could see it happening, but that's going to be a very long, tiring search with no fruit to show for it. So
it's true. It's true. Next question is from Levi. Levi knew, by the way, Levi, it's, you know how if you give an analogy at Tribal Council, Rebecca, you get airtime. Mm-hmm. Levi knows how to get on this podcast. You ready? Love the podcast.
Nice,
he says, love the podcast. Subscribe to Patreon because of it. So yeah, he knew how to get on here. Yes. Nice. By the way, people, there's like 10. Anyways, that's, we already did the whole Patreon thing earlier. All right. Do you think do you think Tika is going to be able to keep playing as a group, or is this where they have to self preserve? Are we going to see them break up? Have they had a reason to turn on each other yet?
Yeah. See, that's the thing is, like, I don't feel like there's really been a reason yet for them to turn on each other, but especially, you know, once you start getting later in the game, people start getting paranoid and, you know, it becomes an individual game. I mean, it's been an individual game for a little bit, but yeah, I don't see it. I don't know. It's just never that clean in Survivor. It's never that easy. So I'm sure eventually they'll start turning on each other.
If they're all as smart as the show has been telling us, then they will know not to vote off each other until like the final five.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Because why would you, like, why would you do that to yourself and let Sokka and Ratu take control? You're on the verge of taking control. Just knock out a Sokka member, knock out Danny.
But
knock
then
out
it's
Heidi.
Also like, but you know, you get in your head and you're like, oh, I need a big move, something that I can, you know, have
They're
on my resume
smart.
Or something. I don't think
Jam Jam nor Carolyn are going to do that. And Carson's too sick to even consider it. So
yeah, true. Although, but again, with the Carolyn and Franny team up, and Franny wanting to get, I mean, she said Jam Jam or Carolyn. I don't know. I could see Carolyn maybe being persuaded to do that, but I don't know. It would be a hard sell for sure.
Randall Westgard asks, with Carolyn finally being seen connecting with her tribe, will she move up in my winner rankings? That's a great question, Randall. I assume Randall's talking to me specifically. Did she move up this week for you, though? I mean, I don't think so, Rebecca. It feels like you slammed her below Danny. I'm deeply offended by this placement.
Yeah, I actually think she stayed the same for the last three, because I think she's been at number five for me for a while.
I'm checking right now.
Which, I mean, she's not someone that I've, like, completely counted out. I feel like there's, like, certain people that it's, like, so obvious that they're not going to win. Just like completely
Danny.
Counted them out.
Danny.
And
Danny.
And Carolyn is definitely not one of those people. So, yeah, I mean, she's someone that's impossible to ignore. But I just think that there's other people that have better stories or better resumes than her. Better, you know, social games and stuff. But, yeah, who knows? This could be the start of, you know, something great with her in terms of her social game. So I may change my tune. We'll see.
I checked. And you were correct. Last time we talked, you had her at number five. And I had her at number four last week as well. So I haven't changed my tune.
Okay.
I need Carson to screw up for me to move. For me to move her up. And Carson hasn't screwed up yet. So no reason to move her down. All right. Our next question is from Blue Jay. Per your criteria, meaning my criteria, Franny is halfway to the title of Challenge Beast. Do we think she'll get there? I think Franny's a great chance.
Yeah, I do too. I would love to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want her to, I want her to immunity her way to the end and then be like, Matt, I want to change the course of history. I want to be the first woman on Survivor to propose to the man. And then Matt would like googly eye say yes. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Sarah asks, this is a two part question from Sarah. She, oh, and by the way, she's a very loyal subscriber, this Sarah is. Oh, two-part question. Hello, Sarah. Do you think based off of what they showed with Carolyn, okay, let me try to read this. Do you think based off what they showed with Carolyn, of her being social and even Franny wanting to work with her, oh, this is the same question as before, sorry. Mm. we already answered whether she moved up or down. So, but the second part of the question was, Carson, on Next Time on Survivor, said he's thinking of betraying someone. Who do you think he's going to betray?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Is this the turn of the Tika group that we were just talking about?
It could be. It could be. But I think in another sense, like, the Tika tribe has been very, like, in the middle for a long time. And so, in a sense, like, voting against either of the other tribes is sort of a betrayal because they've been, you know, making a lot of promises. So it could be something along those lines. But if he was to betray either Jam Jam or Carolyn, I would guess it would probably be Jam Jam because I think that he's a more obvious threat just from the perspective of someone on the beach.
I mean,
just in terms of his social game, like, honestly, yeah.
And this is a hard one to do. I don't like doing this. On social media, he calls her mom a lot. Unless your name is Sierra, you don't vote out your mom. By the way, Rebecca, I know you like.
I saw this.
Yeah, I know you like the post. If you all want to check out my Instagram or my community tab on YouTube, I did post. So I made a post about how the other day Sierra posted that her daughter went to prom. And now she didn't say what age her daughter was. So her daughter could be like a sophomore going to prom. Doesn't matter. She's getting close to being the right age for Survivor. And I said, holy crap, we're only a few years away from Blood vs. Water 3 and she'll vote her out. So then
I mean, Sammy was 19 when he played. So, yeah, she's already most of the way there.
Sammy was 22. Yeah. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, so, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, 22.
Yeah, he was definitely not 19. That's dumb. They wouldn't even allow that. So she commented on the YouTube community tab post saying that, and I know you saw this because I screenshot it, that she would vote off her mom. Sierra's Sierra's daughter would vote her off. That would be a
true, like, without a thought, right?
Yeah, she thinks she thinks it'd be funny. Of course, it's easy to say over a YouTube comment. In real life, would she do it? She did since delete the comment, so I'm glad I took a screenshot. Well, I think I think I pinned the comment, and she's like, "Oh no, I don't want that kind of attention."
Yeah, just, makes sense.
Just guessing. If you're
Plus,
listening,
she didn't
Layla,
want to play her hand because she wants to, you know, it to be a surprise when it happens on TV. Right.
Layla, don't let your mom listen to this podcast. In fact, don't have her watch this channel at all because we talk about it so often. Sierra voted out her own mom.
Can you imagine if they were on Blood vs. Water and she did vote out her mom? Like, how long Jeff would be talking about that?
Screw that. How long would I be talking about that? That would be amazing.
That would be wild.
For those who watch Australian Survivor, the rare shout out on this, Sandra and her daughter play on that season. And I will say one of them votes off the other person. So
nice.
So if you want to see a mom and a daughter go at it, that's another opportunity for you. Sandra from American Survivor with her daughter, Nina. All right. So next question is from Benjamin. What did you think of Danny's Fortnite dance? And do you think Danny's arrogance will cause his downfall? What do you think, Rebecca?
I do think that Danny is very arrogant. And also, like, I don't know, there's been a couple things that they've shown with him in the last couple episodes, like the Fortnite dance in this one. And last week, the challenge when he was like, you know, hey, Jeff, and then he, you know, farts and, you know, it's like this whole thing. Like, I don't know. That's just like it feels like they almost, I don't know. Yeah, like he's being, I guess, a bit immature, arrogant. And it's almost like they kind of want us to start losing a little bit of respect for him in that regard of, like, you know, just like, oh, he's kind of immature and stuff. So, yeah, I don't think that helped his case very much.
I think people, if they keep track of when I love a season and when I love how an ending to a season goes, I love when someone loses because of their arrogance. I love when Johnny Fairplay loses in Pearl Islands because he's just so arrogant. I love when Russell Hance loses both times because he's so arrogant. I loved last season when Cassidy lost to Gabler because the jury's sitting there saying, hey, Cassidy, if you do X, I'm not going to vote for you. Cassidy's like, I'm going to do that anyways. Well, guess what, Cassidy? They're not going to vote for you.
Yeah,
the jury is who you need to appease, and you didn't do it. So it's just like people are like, oh, she shouldn't have to. Yes, we all have to appease the jury, which I would be terrible at. I'm not saying I'm better. Just like, I would be sitting there and be like, oh, you want me to do that? I'm like, oh, can you give me like 30 minutes to think about it?
I would also love to see you on the jury and just see like some of the things that you would ask of the people.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be a good jury member, because if you don't think I would, I mean, I would 100% be like Jesse. I'd be like, look, if you want my vote, this is what you have to do. And if they don't do it, I'd be like, all right, you ignored me. Like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not, people don't like that out of a jury member. So I know people hear the fun side of me on here, but like, I would take that very seriously. I'm like, you have to do what I say to get my vote. Like, this is very serious, because this is what I want out of a winner of the season. But then who knows? We could have a totally fun final three and I wouldn't care. So next question is from, I don't know how to pronounce this. A-Y-U-N-N-U-Y-A. Just know that I know how to spell your name. I don't know how to say it. Anyways, what could Sir Kane have done better this episode to save himself?
Could have competed in the immunity challenge.
Could have aligned with Tika.
Yeah. He could have played the idol.
I mean, he did say that if I competed, I wasn't going to.
Yeah, but he didn't even try. I mean, who knows, you know? Could have looked harder for the immunity idol. I don't know. I feel like he's been... It wasn't just a mistake in one episode. I think it's, you know, been a series of mistakes throughout his gameplay, or just lack of, you know, social game and stuff.
This episode, he said, I'm now playing the game, like, which is classic speak for
just you too haven't little, too late.
You screwed up then. That should never be coming out of your mouth during episode 8, 9, whatever. That should be like maybe episode 3. Like, sometime during the pre-merge is when you should really start playing. Or... If your tribe is really good and you didn't have to, then when the merge starts, but you definitely shouldn't be waiting three votes into the merge to be like, now it's time for me to play the game. All right. Last question is from Sharmila. Will the final five be all women? Because so far, only men have been voted off since the merge. We're down to like three guys. After all the complaints about the pre-merge being all women, now we're down to three guys.
That's true. That's really interesting.
How the tides have turned. It's been so far. Here's how the votes have gone. I mean, since the merge, Josh, Matt, Brandon, Sir Kane. That's four people, four guys.
Yeah. In terms of the final five being all women, I think it's possible, but I think it would have to be led by Franny, and she would have to
Tika.
And she would need to be, you know, wanting to take like Heidi and Jamie and Lauren, like wanting to take them further as maybe goats or something.
That's a win.
So, I mean, I could see that happening. It would be very difficult to pull off, I think, because, you know, Carson and Jam Jam specifically are just really good at this game. Yeah. But it could be possible.
If she was to, if let's say this is the scenario, this is our last question, so I'm going to ponder on this for a second.
Yeah,
if Franny were to do this, because I think that would be who would be spearheading it, in order, Jam Jam, Carson, Danny, that's who you knock out. If you do Danny, based on what we've seen, if you do Danny first, sure, Carson and Jam Jam might be more on their toes, but you give them more time. Knock out Jam Jam first, your charismatic person, you knock out Carson while you're... As he should, I don't know what kind of sick he is, but as he's probably recovering from a sickness, because the show's going by so fast. And then Danny, because Danny ain't winning anyways. I mean, in fact, you probably could take Danny to final three, but if we're going for an all women final five, that's the order I would go in. Jam Jam, Carson, Danny.
Yeah. And plus, I think you have to get rid of Jam Jam early, and then Carson to get Carolyn, because that's going to be rough for her for sure.
If that's the thing, like, you might be able to convince Carson and Carolyn to vote for Jam Jam. I don't know if you could do it now. Maybe you need to knock out another person first, but then that's not a... Maybe you knock out... Maybe you do knock out Danny first. And then when you're down to that, you're like, okay, well, Ratu and Silk are at two each. You know, what about Carolyn and Carson? What do you think about turning on Jam Jam?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what's going to happen, though.
Not likely, but possible.
I don't see that happening. Well, Rebecca, I think that's it. You know, thank you for joining us this week.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So Rebecca will be joining us again next week for our winner analysis. And then I think we'll do it once more before the finale, like when we get down to the final five. So Rebecca, thank you for joining us in this nonsense. Yeah,
of course. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
And if you want to follow Rebecca on, do you want people to publicly follow you on Instagram and stuff? I have your YouTube always in the description, but I don't know about...
Yes. Yeah, the main places that I'm active, because I don't really use Instagram very much, but yeah, I do have TikTok and YouTube.
TikTok?
For, yes. Yeah, my username there is Barefoot Summer. And actually, someone tagged me on TikTok in an edit of the moment when Matt got voted out that was edited to Taylor Swift's song Speak Now. And I... love that. So please do that more. Thank you to the person who tagged me in that. That was amazing.
Survivor cross with Taylor Swift. That's Rebecca.
Yeah, it was. I had no idea that there was so much crossover between these two fandoms, but I'm here for it. So yeah, YouTube or TikTok, Barefoot Summer. And yeah, I'd love to talk Taylor Swift and or Survivor with you on those places.
All right, everyone. Well, I thank you for tuning in and we'll see you next time. Bye.